Welcome to Good Sex, Bad Sex. It's a podcast from metro.co.uk.
You stress odd words.
I know.
It's a bit like, it's a bit like hosing the garden, but there's a lot more squirting.
Oh, right. I see what you did there.
It's going to be hilarious in a second.
It is.
My name is Phoebe Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kane.
And who are we talking to?
We are talking to the world record holder for the most volume of squirting, the lovely Lola Jean. Do you know anything about squirting? Okay, Phoebe's gone catatonic. I think we've broken her.
I'm Lola Jean, and I am a sex educator, a mental health professional, an occasional pro dom, a fetish wrestler, and the world record holder for volume squirting.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Good Sex, Bad Sex podcast, We have the world record holder for volume squirting.
Hang on, what?
Volume squirting, world record holder.
Yeah.
Lola Jean!
Were you not aware of this?
Lola Jean. Lola Jean. That is some CV.
The squirting queen.
Lola Jean, the squirting queen.
That's how you can remember it.
Oh, that's brilliant.
TM.
I mean, it's one of your many accolades. You do.
Yeah, but it's a good one, man. Life's changed a lot since then. It's been great.
I do know where to start.
This is why I'm here, because I don't know where to start. So I am.
First of all, when did you get this record?
I just had my 1 year squirtiversary.
Well done. Squirtiversary.
So it was late February of last year. And I remember because I had left for the UK 2 days afterwards.
Oh.
So it was my victory lap tour.
So you didn't even have time just to, revel in it.
I reveled in it over here.
Okay, cool. That's fine. How much was your record breaking amount?
1,250 milliliters.
So it's four cans of Coke.
It's three or four of these.
Yeah.
You squirted three or four of those.
Yeah. I mean, it's 1.25 liters. It's ridiculous.
Oh, 1.25 liters. Oh, now I understand. Now. So there we go. We're all of a different.
I was I'm going to measure it to a standard worldwide. So that's just how I went by it.
So when you did it, right, do you have to do it under kind of clinical conditions so they know that, did you do it in front of a room and a man's got his stopwatch and he's got a little clipboard and they're making sure you're doing it properly and that you're recording it properly.
Kind of.
Brilliant.
So what happened was the record didn't exist for Guinness. There's milk squirting out of your eye, but there is nothing to do with actual squirt.
I did not see that on Record Breakers.
Yeah.
Norris McSquirter.
Sorry, that's a English. Sorry.
No, I knew Alex English. Fox made that joke at the Squirty Awards.
Oh, a bit annoyed. Bloody
it's great, Alex I know.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. So, I was I know that one. Look at that American coming in here knowing some of the references.
Well
hey.
Done.
But so I applied to Guinness and they were like, yeah, we're a family organization. It's not. And what's funny is one of my friends works for Guinness now. And I was like, tell them to accept my record. She's like, I can't. We're family friendly. I was like, who said I'm not family friendly? Damn it. But yeah, so they rejected it. So then I kind of let it off for a while and I looked it up. I'm like, okay, all I need is a bunch of witnesses and journalists to call it mine. And I'm going to do it to Guinness standards. So there is a standard of it to be set of these are the requirements if you want to try to break it. I really doubt anyone will. But if you want to try, absolutely. The thing that I get all the time is people are like, oh, I feel like my girlfriend could break your record. I'm like, yeah, but without the assistance of toys or another person.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And in front of other people, of course. Or the witnesses. And
yeah, you'll probably need to do that. Which, for me, I'm better on game day.
So
give me a crowd.
Give me a crowd.
Yeah. So I threw an event for myself because I do things, I don't do things small. This was one of my first events that it sold out over 300 people. And now I'm doing a lot more events because it worked out really well. But it was a kinky carnival. So there were all of these weird carnival games like cock ring toss, pin the dildo in the butt, human pinata, things like that. And then there was a freak show and I was essentially the last act of that freak show. So there's an Olympics of Pain, a human dog show. We're going to have the second Kinky Carnival, I think, in May in New York, too.
Well, where is that?
In New York at House of Yes.
Then we are definitely there.
Yeah, and who knows? Maybe I'll come to the UK and do it, too.
Yes,
I've seen a couple venues. It's loads of fun. And just a carnival is a feel-good time. You know? But yeah, so I set the whole event for myself and then kind of figuring out like measuring. So what ended up being was I had an amazing drag queen, Madame Vivian in New York. She hosted the whole thing. And she was, what's funny is like, so after I squirted that amount, we tested the quality with a squirt sommelier, which is made up. And then we auctioned it off. So after we have like the quality, the quantity, and then she auctioned it off and she's like, oh my gosh, I grew up on the farm. I do this all the time. But she was the one in charge of like timing and doing all those pieces. And I remember when they started, I thought they were going to count down, but then they would go 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm like, oh shit, I have to start. So yeah, then I can squirt in like a couple seconds. But I squirted into like a kind of like a tub that you would like wash your dog in kind of a thing. So it went in there and then they poured that bucket or that like large receptacle into a giant funnel, which then went into the measuring devices. And I remember it was so fun watching like my mentee and my friend trying to get that into everything without spilling it.
Yes.
That was just like one of the joyous moments. As soon as I saw that I passed a liter, that was my goal.
Yeah.
Because so science says that the max amount a person can squirt is 900 milliliters. And I used to always jokingly be like, yeah, but I feel like I could crush that. So a liter was my goal. And also 900 mil is the max amount the human bladder can uncomfortably hold. So I squirted more than this in the bladder. So kind of takes away the whole pee argument,
yes.
Doesn't it?
How many orgasms did that take? Was that one orgasm that you built
zero.
Up?
Or zero. Zero orgasms.
So it was just like...
I didn't orgasm at all during it. I also didn't penetrate myself.
Okay. So it was you playing with your lovely clitoris,
mm-hmm.
and it just was coming out.
Yep.
I'm so jealous.
Why? Why? So it's more a case of when I had first squirted was with someone else. And that someone else ended up like ending things with me after the first time we had sex.
Oh.
So I was left with this whole, my body can do this thing that I didn't know it could do. The person I was doing with isn't here. And I've just had, I'm a relationship virgin. So I've never been in a romantic relationship. And I've always been kind of stunted of the fact that I need someone else and I can't do these things on my own. Yeah. And there were so many sexual things that I wanted to explore, but felt like I needed another person.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a statement of just like, I'm going to figure this out on my own.
Yeah.
And then it was very empowering in that way of being able to figure that out. But essentially, like, I trained my body to squirt at the rate and ease that I can. But my body is also just capable of squirting really, really large amounts, which not all bodies are.
Can everyone squirt?
We will never know the answer to that because it's impossible to know if everyone can. But it is my belief that everyone with a vulva can if they have a strong enough pelvic floor and relationship with their vulva. So if you were to... So firstly, there are hardly any studies on squirting and the ones that are out there suck and the sample sizes are small. But if you put me in that study like 5-7 years ago, I'm probably not going to squirt. If you put it in... I mean, if you put that in me now... Definitely gonna squirt.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Study now.
So I think there's like certain studies I think that are valid if we study people who squirt, but I don't think we should be doing these studies to figure out how or if. That just doesn't make sense to me because it really takes it off of the person who's doing that they have any control over it or not. And I just felt like the way that my body works wasn't represented in like a lot of the things that I was seeing being taught. And let me tell you, what is super fun is having someone try to explain to me what my body does and does not do. It's great.
Because it's pee, isn't it? It's just pee.
But what is it? It's a combination of things. There is some pee in it. It's not all pee. I've done multiple anecdotal research and test to figure this out. So I've had someone that drank my pee and then drank my squirt and having my body have to do each of those. I've done each of those into glasses and we kind of did a smell test, taste test, and even just looking visually at it as well. So it is a combination of things. It's going to be dependent on how much you've hydrated, when the last time that you urinated was, but there also is PSA inside the squirt, which is prostate-specific antigen. So this is for people with penises, fluid that comes from the prostate found in semen. So the PSA for people with vulvas is coming from the prostate for people with vulvas, which is called the Skene's gland, which is a bunch of erectile tissue that surrounds the urethra. It's not the same as a prostate. It's not like a, you know, an object. They're just kind of glands that are embedded around. People have varying amounts. It's not really something that's very intensely studied, or that we know much about. out. Yeah. But that we did find that there. So there are things other than pee that are there, and it does change the properties of it a bit.
Is there a biological purpose for it?
To protect the urethra. So really? it's erectile tissue that is surrounding the urethra, similar
the squirting.
The fluid that comes out. Yeah. So the erectile tissue where the squirt comes out of, in addition to, it comes out of both the urethra and the Skene's glands. That is my belief, which combines two doctors that I have followed or worked with. But it's something where a lot of the time, when there is engorgement or there is lubrication, so from the Bartholin's glands at the bottom of the vagina, that happens to, we don't have painful sex. It tries to make sex less painful. That's why for people that are maybe being raped, they're like, oh, but they were wet. It's like, because their body response is, let's not make this painful.
So can you? Don't answer. You don't have to answer.
Oh, no. No, that's why I've got her on. I'm like, I'm like, teach me. I've never managed it. Actively tried, but this is where I've always fallen down, because looking at all the advice is so different. Yeah. There is
what
no,
have you actively tried?
Wanking myself furiously, having someone else wank me furiously. I think it goes back to the orgasm gap, where that was why I asked, you know, did you come? Because things that you read and things that you...
I thought it was only by coming.
Yeah, exactly. That's the same as
honestly,
me.
Honestly, I have an interesting story of that too. Of like, I always, before a lot of my lectures, I talk about my relationship with squirting because everyone wants to do it so badly. And it's kind of like a blessing and a curse a little bit. And it's a thing my body does, so people have to get down with it. Mm-hmm. But it gets in the way a lot. And there's definitely lovers who are like, could you not do it? Or this is kind of a nuisance. I don't want to deal with that. Oh. Or they question what my body does. But it's something where when I started squirting, it made people obsessed with my pleasure, which I was about because I was very selfish. But it was just something where it makes, because it's something that's usually about male ego, it made them like, oh, I'm an amazing lover, even though I'm doing everything. Yeah. They're facilitating it. But like, it's, I can make my body squirt. I can't make it not squirt. So people were obsessed with my pleasure. It was really fun and great. Loved that. And I loved being able to bring that into sexual situations. But then I realized I was losing sight of my orgasm. Because for me, it's really, really easy to squirt. And it feels good. I like it. It's not the same as an orgasm, but it's nice. It feels like a release. It feels like you have the biggest itch in the world and someone scratched it. Or like you had to sneeze and it's been like coming for like an hour and you finally sneezed. I have that sometimes where even if I like have an orgasm and I'm just like, oh, I feel like pent up, like it just has to come out of my body.
Yeah.
But orgasming is harder for me to achieve than squirting. Squirting is very easy. So I knew I had that in my back pocket. So why would I not go and do that every time? But after a while, I was just like, I should be orgasming more.
Yeah. So what have you tried then? So wanking, someone wanking you,
yeah,
and no joy at all?
No. So where would you start? What are the tips? Do you have anything that you, where I could start with?
Yes. So, I mean, one of the main things is about your pelvic floor. So, okay, an interesting fact is I found a lot of people who have given birth, so like a child has walked out of them, and they, a lot of them can find that they can squirt. And that's because they were forced to have a relationship with their vulva. Like their body just changed, their vagina changed. And if they don't want to like pee when they laugh, then they have to like figure that out. So they both have an understanding of their vagina and their PC muscles, and then they're also being able to strengthen that. But it's not just about having like the strongest pussy in the world kind of a thing. It's also the relaxed state is very important. So it's not just about strength, but it's about the relaxed state and going between those. So in my classes, a lot of it is about the tightening of the PC muscles, which is just like activating your G area, which for a lot of us, we don't like having it activated manually, having it with our own muscles. So that's just going to make you feel good. And then...
Is that the same as, you know, when you're told
stop
to...
Stop your pee.
Butt clenches.
I'm doing it now.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, your PC muscles control a lot. They control your sphincter. They control your urethra. So a lot of times when you are clenching one, you're going to be clenching the other. And it's not to say you have to isolate them. Yeah. But I like to move away from any of the vernacular surrounding pee, just because it's not, and when I talk about like pushing your PC muscles, it's not pushing like you're peeing, because like you can, you know, you can push like you're peeing and not pee, right? So, and I tell people like, our bodies don't want to pee on people. They don't. If you've ever peed on not a toilet, you know that it takes a little bit of effort mentally.
So
the pushing sensation is like you're trying to push something out of your vaginal canal. So if you like a menstrual cup, and in doing that. So then it's pushing and then doing something you really like. So if you've ever had the experience where what I call you can hear the splish splash sound, whether you are playing with yourself or someone is playing with you, you hear a little sloshing. Mm-hmm. If you can do that, I am telling you that you can squirt. You just have to figure out how to get it out of you.
Okay.
Which is going to be different for each person.
God. Why are you so desperate to do it?
I just want to see what it feels like. It's like, you know, why am I so desperate to eat a vegan burger? Yeah. I just want to know what it tastes like. It's just curiosity. Like,
and did you think there was the total connection with orgasm? So did you see it as a heightened orgasm?
Yeah.
That's how I would have imagined.
Yeah. I mean, for a lot of people, it happens during orgasm because that is a state where you are really in less control of your body. So it kind of goes into autopilot. But the more you get to know it better, you can really separate those, and squirting is a lot easier to achieve than that.
I'm so intrigued by this. I wonder if it changes your ability to do it, changes as you get older. I wonder if there's anything like that that's been looked into.
My mom can squirt.
Can she? How do you know your mom can squirt?
Because I asked her. Also, the other anecdotal research is I was just finding a lot with different friends, because once you come out about squirting all the time, people like I'm who they think of when they squirt type of a thing. But a lot of friends, like, they squirt, their sister squirts, their mom squirts, another friend, she squirts, her mom squirts. So I was like, Mom, this is for scientific research. Yeah. I need to know. And, like, very embarrassed, she said that she did.
Could she do it before you walked out of her vagina, though?
No. I think, well, she said it was in her, like, I think her later 30s or when she felt more sexually free, which I was like, Mom.
Oh. Yeah. That's so interesting.
And I asked my grandma, but I don't think she knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, let's leave that there.
Yeah.
I think she's the original Lola Jean. That's where I get my namesake.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
She thought I was talking about orgasming. And she's like, doesn't everyone? It's very cute.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you said earlier that some lovers have kind of preferred you not to, what's been their issue?
The mess, a lot of the time. It's a lot for them to deal with or to kind of take precautions for things in that way. Another issue is people just like thinking I came and stopping.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I can imagine that's a fucking pain. Yeah.
Or some people, right? I mean, if they're questioning of what my body can do.
Yeah.
And... or to them, it's mostly that it's just a hassle or like they don't feel like it today.
So you can try the exercise that we were saying is that kind of whole area, Kegel balls to strengthen the pelvic floor.
I actually recommend, because we have an internal sex organ, to put your hand inside for real-time feedback. Yeah.
Nice.
Because it's not about like, again, having like the strongest pussy ever, but it's having more of that awareness. So the contraction and the release. So and if you have your fingers inside, then you can have the real-time feedback of how much you're squeezing or pushing.
Do you know we're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic?
if it's your own hands, you already have it.
Must it be my vagina as well?
You also can put on non-latex gloves.
Okay.
So
my vagina is quite happy to shake hands with my hand.
So where it's going around,
she told me.
Right, masturbation boosts immunities that will help you against coronavirus.
Yeah. I love as well. So you have got, this is the best, I mean, Miranda Kane to my right does have the best business card I've ever seen.
The bit at the back, tremendous value for money. But made me laugh for about a day. But yours is pretty close. So Lola Jean is a sex educator, mental health professional, wrestler, dom, and world record holder for volume squirting. This is giving you no frills sex education you both need and deserve. Are all those things connected? Is sex education linked to the squirting? Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I should show you my actual business card because it's a picture of me manspreading on the subway with pussy panties on.
Oh.
So it might win now.
Oh.
That was great. It's just like the gift that keeps on giving. But yeah, all those things are related. I think even when I talk about BDSM a lot, BDSM is just psychology. It's a game where we're able to put a language and a name to things, a set of rules with two or more players. So all of these different pieces I'm able to pull from in that sense. My mental health job, that influences my sex education, and my sex education also influences my mental health job. But we should be pulling from all the different areas and aspects of our life. Absolutely.
And you're in London at the moment because you're doing some workshops with people and you're doing some events?
Yeah, I try to come to London every couple of months. I really like teaching here and putting on events here, and it's just, it's a different market. There are different needs, and I just really enjoy the quality of people too.
Do you come over every year to do?
Usually a couple times a year.
Oh, so people can still, if they're not in time to see you this year, then they can come and see you next year.
Sign up for the newsletter. I only email once a month because that's all I have time for.
And what advice, quick, so people have gotten in contact with their pelvic floor, got some real-time feedback from their fingers. Anything else they can...
Lock yourself in your room and masturbate. And try different things with your hand and different ways of squeezing and pushing with your body.
Yep.
And push yourself past what you think you're capable of. If you're alone and you're masturbating, if you do anything embarrassing, you're the only one that's going to know.
Yeah.
So really take that time to explore and do some like research and development and time with your body, because we're never going to stop learning about our bodies. You're never going to know everything about your body. Things, but there's probably stuff I'm going to do in 20 years that I've never been able to do now. Maybe my nipples get sensitive for the first time. I don't know.
Oh, you see, now my nipples are sensitive.
See, so we all have something the other ones, you know?
Oh my God. Oh, well, if only we all had 2 weeks of isolation.
I mean, what can we possibly do?
Where can people get hold of you, Lola, if they've got questions, queries?
Yeah. Lolajean.com. If you have questions and queries, I have a podcast called Is Our Love, and that's where I take any questions and we answer them anonymously on air so we can help other people as well. But yeah, social media is all lolajean.com. That's my website. You can find everything that I do from there.
Well, Miranda.
Yeah.
Something else.
Oh, wasn't she fascinating?
I just always thought squirting was a byproduct for some people from orgasming.
Yes,
I never thought it wasn't, it was an independent thing.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. This is what I mean. Like, there's so many different things on the internet to say what it is and what it isn't. It's nice to know, it's nice to know that it's nuanced, like everything is with our wonderful, lovely, very different bodies. But also B, it's like nice to know that if you, there's ways to try and get there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and you want to.
Yeah, I'd like to try it. But then now I'm thinking, did I want to try it because I thought it made my orgasm better?
Yeah.
Or did I want to try it because I just wanted to try it? And I think I just wanted to try it because I thought it would make my orgasm better.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, oh, do I want to sit there with my hands up my foof, playing with my... I mean, I do anyway.
Yeah.
If there are any willing volunteers,
well, that's lovely. Yeah. Do you know my problem?
What?
I can't swim. You know I can't swim.
Oh my God. Are you going to try it though? Are you going to try?
No. My name is Bebe Lynch.
I'm Miranda Kay.
Good Sex, Bad Sex was produced by Juliet Nichols for metro.co.uk. I'm only laughing because please get in touch. Just tweet anything. At Good Sex, Bad Sex with three X's.
Also, if you've got a sexy question or a query, or if you're an expert in your very sexy field and you want to come on the show, just get in touch at info@sexpod.co.uk.